Blog Talk Radio.
King, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football.
The old timers, do you remember their names? Like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane, Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff. In the snow and the mud, they were still real tough. Crazy Legs Hurt, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I say Berry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore. Is them I adore, they seem to always score. Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years. Gene Big Daddy Liston was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Wish I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of thing, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football. 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 Football.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The boys are back in town, coming at you with a new hot episode of CMT Firestorm. We're coming at you live, unedited, uncalled for, and completely biased opinions on everything to do with the world of football. I'm your boy, Cali Mike. I'm with the panel today. We got from the Lone Star State, Big Tech. What's going on, Tech?
We're going to have a good show tonight. Let's go.
All right. Coming at us from the Windy City, we got Chi-Town Mike. What's going on, little Mike?
What's going on, everybody? Hey, Tony, what you say about Peyton Manning? You know what I'm talking about. You talk about Tom Brady. Peyton Manning's going to the Super Bowl, baby. Like I
Mike, come on, man.
My goodness. Coming at us from the sun capital of the world, Tampa, Florida, mouth of the south, Los Angeles. What's up?
All right, what's good, man? Hey, I'm ready to get into this, man. Let's just do this.
All right, let's get this cracking. First, I want to start off with Clauzel was able to go and see one of the postseason college football games. I want to get a perspective on that game and some of the prospects you got to see.
I saw it. It was East versus West. There was this guy, I think the best player out there was Keith Price from Washington. So I think I think he was I thought he was the best one out there. They were talking about this guy from Cornell. I forgot his name. He looked okay. He's so. I mean, I could tell why people thought he was going to look good, but I didn't really like him that much. And then there was Aaron Lynch was there. This guy from Northern Arizona, I thought that was pretty good. A little short guy. So overall, I didn't really see any great players, to be honest with you, watching that game. I mean, I think the Senior Bowl is going to be a little bit better. You have the more of the premium marquee names and the guys that are actually really do something when they get in the pros. But overall, though, there was a few flashes. I thought Keith Price did a pretty good job for the most part. And I hope he gets an opportunity, maybe going a third round. I know he's not a big guy, but he can clearly move an offense on the NFL level.
Now,
I got out of that game.
A couple of seasons ago, me and you were talking about Keith Price. We were both pretty high on him. And we know he's kind of disappointed the last couple of seasons. What stood out about him to you at that game.
Just the way that, just the way he can move the offense. I mean, the way, like, third and four, third and seven, you know, he can convert. He has a very good, I mean, I wouldn't say he has a great pocket presence, but, you know, he's able to extend plays. He's able to keep his head down the field to locate the open guy. He's able to read defenses for the most part. And I think that's what kind of stood out to me, the way he was able to move an offense down the field. A lot of those quarterbacks during that game weren't able to do that well. So particularly Aaron Lynch. I think Aaron Lynch didn't really look that good to me. So I'm kind of sketchy about him. But he was out of all the players. That's all the players. Well, there was one other guy. I can't remember where he was from. He was from, like, Virginia. Not Virginia Tech, but some Virginia school. He stood out to me, too. He made a couple plays off the edge, a defensive end. But other than him and whatchamacallit, Keith Price were the two best players out there, in my opinion. They stood out. And like I said, Keith Price, the way he was able to run the offense, move the ball down the field, dictate the offense, that's why I liked him the best.
Okay. Who would you compare him to?
Who would I compare him to? NFL player. It's kind of tough. I'm not going to say he's a Drew Brees. It's tough to have a comparison. I don't know a starting quarterback right now that I could compare him to. Because I'm trying to think. Just a guy that can
who's,
extend
who's,
plays.
Who's in the mold of, let's say that, you know?
Well, they say Charlie Ward. They say he's more of the mold of a Charlie Ward. I think he can, like, if the pressure, well, I don't know. I kind of put him in the same boat with a Charlie Ward. I think that what's unique about him is, like, a guy's coming off the edge. It's kind of like he has eyes in the back of his head. So he can feel the rush and know how to escape. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that he has great in the pocket mobility, but he's able to feel the rush, extend the play, look down the field, deliver the ball. So that's the thing. I think I'd like that the best out of him. So a quarterback in the NFL that I can compare him to right now, I can't really think of anybody. I could say maybe a Russell Wilson maybe. But now I think about it, Russell Wilson, somebody like that. That's how I look. That's how I compare him to. That's the closest thing to what we see.
Okay. And that's good. Thank you for that. And, you know, everybody knows we're coming up with the Senior Bowl. I believe it's the Senior Bowl this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. Now they said some of the quarterbacks, you know, AJ McCarron didn't do it because he was hurt. But that's pretty much what it is. It's hurt because his doctors told him not to do it. They said Taj Boyd didn't really look that good. So
yeah.
And they weren't really high on the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl. That's from what the reporters are saying. So. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
I heard Boyd is on the. He's on the same team as, I think, Logan Thomas and a couple other guys. And it's like, if he can't shine against those dudes, I don't know who he can shine against. I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to see, you know, how it all comes out. But there's a lot of analysis going on in this game, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to add this, though. I don't think, for A.J. McCarron's sake, I mean, it's a kind of a little blow that he couldn't participate in the Senior Bowl to show scouts and everything, but I still think he's going to get drafted, possibly somewhere between rounds maybe 3 or 4.
I think he's going to be higher than that. No, he's going to be higher than that.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it. A.J. McCarron's like 6'4", so he's tall. He's very accurate with the ball. He has a very good touchdown interception ratio. So he may go late first, early too.
He's
going
late
first.
Just a couple of weeks.
He is Ken Dorsey. No, he is Ken Dorsey now. Hold on. First of all, don't get it twisted now. He is Ken Dorsey. I'm not going from there. But he's going to go in the top. He's going to go high.
I think he's better than Ken Dorsey.
See, you got it. This is
Ken Dorsey.
Here's the thing. It's what. Hello.
Okay.
It's what there's the draft community opinion about McCarron, and then there's what the NFL feels, and not everybody in the NFL is liking AJ McCarron, but you know that's with any player. But from what I've seen, somebody that knows he could go as early as 20, and like the 20 to top of in the top of the second.
Hey, hold on, Jay. Because somebody
that's what I said.
Their phone. We got a lot of static in the background.
All right,
go ahead.
Hello? But it's just the draft night guys that want to see him go to the Senior Bowl. You know, I don't have sources like that, but you know, even I know, and I've been knowing that the NFL is not low on McCarron. You know, now the guys, you know, just like I said, the folks in the community that are not making the decisions want him to be in the Senior Bowl. You know, but the league knows what he has. The league knows what he can do, and the guys that'll make decisions. You know, I would say that they're not low on McCarron. Although I'm not saying that they're sky high, but they're definitely not low on him. He won't get out of the second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you got to think about it. Like, think about with the EJ Manuel. That's how I predicted EJ Manuel to go first round because he looks the part. When you looked at his statistics at Florida State, they weren't that bad. And if he looks the part and you have not so bad statistics, you're going to go in the second to first round. You know what I mean? And that's the same case with AJ McCarron.
AJ McCarron, come on now, Clausell. McCarron has a set of skills that's viable.
That's what I'm saying. He looks the part.
Translate to the NFL game. I mean, I know you don't like him. But
no, I don't like him long term, no.
Well, he's not Ken Dorsey. I mean, you're
okay.
Saying he's Ken Dorsey.
He is Ken Dorsey.
Y'all don't want to give McCarron credit, man.
I give Ken Dorsey credit, too. Ken Dorsey was
right.
A great college quarterback.
How do you think Bama does without AJ McCarron, seriously.
The same
I
way
mean,
they would do the same.
Well,
they would do the exact
well,
same.
Let's talk about his resume in Alabama. I'm pretty sure you know it. We all know it. We know what games he was big in. Three national titles, right?
Yeah.
Three national titles?
Yeah.
All right, and he played a huge part in it. So
he ran the offense. That's right. He ran. He had a portion. He didn't mess
like,
up the Porsche.
Like any other quarterback.
You know what I'm
like
saying?
Any
he
other quarterback
he,
runs offense. Like any
exactly.
other quarterback runs offense.
Yeah, but I mean, if you took away that run, what can you do? Look at that Oklahoma game. You take away that run, what can you do?
You're going off one game and
I'm not going off of one game.
Yeah, the tale about OU was more of Alabama's, their defense versus OU's spread. That's the story in that game, not AJ McCarron. You understand
really?
What I'm saying? That's the story in that game.
It was a combination of both. No, it was a combination. It was a combination of both. I'll give you that spread. I'll give you the spread. I see where you come from.
I'm not buying that.
It's a combination of both.
McCarron didn't have a great game, but.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Are we there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. McCarron didn't have a great game, but, I mean, you know, not every game at Bama was great for him anyway, so. You know, y'all were kind of waiting. I hate to say it, cause it's like you were kind of waiting on the fall, my man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, and he produced, and if you take,
I wasn't waiting on his fall.
I wasn't waiting on his fall. And you put him on Miami. They're a better team. No, way better team.
You're talking about Stephen Morris. It's different.
Well, Stephen Morris.
He's not even a game manager.
All right, well, put him on, who else? You put him with Texas. They go somewhere.
I guess.
You know what I'm saying? You put him on Texas, they go somewhere. You put him on several different teams. Hell, what if he was with USC?
Yeah.
I mean, we got to keep it real. He didn't have a great game. You know what I'm saying? It's, Okay, fine, but the guy has some skills. He has some leadership skills. He can make the throws. He's a smart quarterback. I mean, and that's not to say Bama quarterbacks are going to go to the NFL and wreck shop. But one thing that you know they're smart. They've learned the game from a perspective of a defensive coach. And you kind of have that with Belichick and Brady in the league. And again, we're not saying McCarron is going to be Tom Brady, but I mean that's what you have. You have cerebral quarterbacks when you have a defensive coach and you have this quarterback that's having so much success. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there are so many games that McCarron won for Alabama. You know, at LSU had these guys dead to right the last few years, with the exception of this year, and then McCarron comes through for them. They don't win a national.
You mean they had us dead to right? What'd you say? Hold on, what did you say? You said some blasphemy.
He said they had us dead to right?
What'd you say?
Yeah, dead to right. If you don't have McCarron
Please, you're talking about 1 year where they beat us one game?
No. A few years, but I'm talking about LSU right now. I'm talking about LSU, who's sends tons of guys to the NFL, and McCarron had some of his.
Yeah, who you're a fan of? You're a fan of LSU?
No, I'm not a fan of that. But if they don't have McCarron versus LSU in that national title game, they lose. He carved
it.
And I agree.
And they didn't have a running game. They didn't have a running
game. But LSU was game planning.
You know what? No. They
LSU was game planning for the run. Yeah. They were game planning for the run, Tech.
Don't try that.
I'm trying to tell you the truth.
Hey, Clausel, you can't say that because LSU played an excellent defensive game versus the pass. Just McCarron was off. Yeah, I don't know if anybody remembers Peyton Manning versus the Ravens a few years ago when the year they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Saints. Who remembers that game when the Ravens played the Colts? And the Ravens defense, I mean, they couldn't have played any better. If Manning was off a couple of inches, the Ravens win that game. That's how McCarron was against LSU in that national title game. He was on.
But I'm not. First of all, I'm not.
He's talking about he just said the year when the Colts went to the Super Bowl, right, when they played New Orleans, right? He's talking about that year, right?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Clausel.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not disagreeing with you that he played well in that Sugar Bowl game. He played well at the end. Well, really, he was doing a bunch of checkdowns, and the other players were doing the best at the other LSU game last year.
But you don't want to say that about Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston has those checkdown plays. Let me finish. Jameis Winston has those checkdown plays, but he also has those long passes too. He plays spectacular. He made a ton of spectacular plays. When you go 24 for 25 your first game, when you go 24 for 25 your first game, and you're going to sit up here and tell me that is like a slouch? Is that a game manager? What are you talking about? He went 24 for 25 his first start. Three touchdowns. Anyway, come on, man.
Every quarterback is a game manager to a great extent. Everybody.
Winston is not a game manager. That offense runs through Winston. Hold on. That offense runs through Winston. That Florida State's offense runs through Winston. Alabama's offense runs through that running game. So you want to talk about him and Winston. You can't even put them in the same sentence. They don't even deserve to be in the same sentence. And I know you're online, Wadley. You need to listen to that, Wadley.
Alabama's running game has been off at different times this season, and they were, you know, a couple of plays away from the national championship.
Yeah, they've been off, but they still average over 200 rushing yards per game. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of off you're talking about. So what I'm saying
is that's just their modus, but their other modus is a quarterback that can make plays. They can make a ton of plays and has won a ton of games for them.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I don't even feel like arguing about McCarron. I don't even care anymore about McCarron. To be frankly, I'm just with you. I really don't.
Hey,
but I'm just saying.
You might retract those words, my friend.
No, I'm not retracting those words. Alabama, I'm predicting Alabama right now to win it all next year. To win the whole thing again next year.
Let me ask you about this, Clausel. It yeah. just came up that I guess Jacob Coker is going to be transferring to Alabama, and looks like he's going to be in the running for their starting job. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't think he's going to start there either, so I don't know.
And also Mike, Jack Del Rio's son, I guess he was a quarterback. He transferred out of Alabama, too. I forgot what school, but he transferred, too.
Well, they got a brother. They had a brother up there backing up McCarron. So I hope, you know, I mean, I don't know with what's the guy, your boy, coming in. He's going to take him. So I don't know. He's not fond with brothers. What's his name? Kiffin. So I'm hoping the
Alabama
brother will start.
Alabama is not fond of brothers. Name one.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So
Alabama.
Well, hey, we got one that's next in line. He's supposed to start. So. Brothers next.
Jacob Coker's coming to y'all as a senior, which is why he's able to transfer there in the first place. When you transfer someplace as a senior, you're transferring there to start. That means those coaches
exactly.
are saying, hey, you're going to start.
Yeah, maybe, man. That's tough for the brother,
maybe,
man.
Like, it makes sense, Corey. Something's not right if he just transferred a senior and don't play, or like you said, start.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he might be starting. I mean, I heard he's a pretty good player, though. So I heard he's pretty good. So we'll see. I'm interested to see what happens.
It don't matter
who's going to be back there. That's the point I'm saying. I don't think it's going to matter who's going to be back there because he's just going to do the same thing McCarron doing, just manage the game, don't screw the ball over like McCarron did, and we're still going to win games because we got better athletes than we did last year. We'll have better athletes this year than we did last year. We'll have a better running back than we had last year.
Okay.
Huh?
That boy from Florida though was good though. I get that boy from Florida.
Yeah, he's better than Yeldon, and Yeldon Yeldon's going to be a top 10 pick probably. So what I'm saying is
he is.
You don't think Yeldon's a top 10 pick?
No.
Got to bounce back.
Unless he comes
in
Louisville. Unless he fucks up in the 40 or something real good. Like they saying, man, this man's a top 10. Never know. I wouldn't say go that far yet.
Well, yeah, I'm not guaranteeing it, but
he's a good running back, but top 10, especially with these Alabama backs have been doing in the league lately. Those dudes have been a joke.
Oh, Eddie Lacy is a scrub.
Lacy though, Lacy gonna hate to say he's a dang tackle, but he's gonna be a beast, man.
I'm talking about the ones that people waste the first round draft picks on, like Mark Ingram. And Trent Richardson.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Trent Richardson, you still don't know, question mark. And then Ingram kind of showed a little bit in that Seattle game. But I think he'll still be on the roster.
Well, I don't want to hear that. But anyway, I've been also, speaking of SEC quarterbacks, I've been hearing Zach Mettenberger's name mentioned as still being a possible first-round draft pick. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I don't mind. I mean, I like Mettenberger. I didn't like him last year. It's been documented. But he got better this year. He definitely got better this year. So
he's first round caliber kind of guy?
I don't know about that, man. I don't know. I mean, can he move? I don't think he can move that well. So I don't know, man.
I mean,
I take him in the first round.
I don't think it's all going to be about moving. You know, I mean, there's always going to be a place for quarterbacks who can stand in the pocket and make a pass. You know, it's not all going to be, about moving guys. Especially, you know, like I said, if you go in the late first round, that means you're going to go to a team that's pretty much already has an established offensive line. So they're not going to need you to move around that much. But like I said, I don't know. Like I said, he has what you look for in a quarterback. But, you know, he also is playing with wide receivers where, you know, two or three of them are going to go in the first couple of rounds of the draft. So, I don't know. I see a little bit more now. But what do you think about that first pick?
Hello?
Hello, Tech?
Hey, Tech.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what do you think about Mettenberger?
Mettenberger definitely made strides in his second year starting. I mean, tremendous strides. I don't know if he's a first rounder. I don't have a bead like that to where I could say he'll get past 32 teams. But, you know, there are some people, there are some teams that like him, and there are going to be teams that don't like him. Not sure about the first round, but it's just how teams, you know, how they're stacking up their prospects. You know, so he could or he could, you know, but either way, man, in this league, man, get your quarterback. Get him.
I was gonna say for this year's draft, so right now, there's only a couple quarterbacks I would take first round. I was gonna say a session because the New England Patriots, you know, they got so many picks, you know, a couple picks in the first round where they can make it take a chance and take a quarterback like maybe McCarron or Metterberg in the first round. This would be a reclamation project or something. If they see something, they see. But other than that, I will kind of shy away from quarterbacks in this year's draft in the first round and look at other rounds. And maybe taking one and, you know, go for, you know, the skill position players. And
okay. I'm looking up here highlights of day three at the Senior Bowl. Apparently, there's a quarterback. I don't really read that much about this guy, Jimmy Garoppolo from Eastern North Illinois. But people are talking about might work his way into the first couple of rounds. I don't know.
Yeah, like I say, you know, the people are kind of down on the quarterback class. You know, not as high as they were a while back. Like I said, I'm still kind of big on the class. Like I said, I think, you know, I mean, I think, you know, like I said, I don't think this is going to be like last year, where, you know, you're going to get quarterbacks falling into, you know, the fourth and, you know, third and fourth rounds that were expected, you know, top picks. I think, you know, like I said, I think some of these guys are going to find it. I just don't think, you know, that maybe, I don't know, maybe they didn't live up to the hype. I don't know, like I said, I mean, most of these guys live up to the hype. Some of the other guys, you know, even Morris, you know, Logan Thomas, you know, they kind of tied it down, but I think he's going to find a place. Even though they say Todd Boyd hasn't been a practice candidate at the Senior Bowl, like I said, I still see him going in the, you know, at least second round, you know, second, third round. I don't see him falling back here. You know, and like I said, I think that, you know, a dude like that, you know, especially when he gets to the combine, you know, then that's where he's going to have a solid combine. So,
I agree with you on that, Mike. He is a gifted athlete. Let's say he could be a guy, maybe, you know, like you say, being a quarterback where they could maybe be one of those special types, you know, he can move around where he might do some special things or maybe try on being like a kick returner or something like that. Something that, you know, they could do where a guy who can play on the field because he is a gifted athlete or, you know, run some special packages for the guy.
I don't know if he's that kind of athlete. I mean, I don't know if he's like a Woody Gensler who came out of Clemson kind of athlete. I think, you know, I mean, I think that he's a good enough athlete to make people have a better look at him than playing quarterback. I don't know if he's showing the type of athleticism that I would see anybody, you know, putting him at wideout or running back or anything like that. I think, you know, I think he's just going to be a more athletic quarterback. I think with those type of guys, You kind of look for a certain type of guy when you see a guy who's going to try to make a position stand going into the NFL. I would see old boy out of Northern Illinois switching position.
But what position is he going to switch to?
Huh?
What position is he going to switch to?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't know.
Fullback?
I don't know. Maybe tight end. I mean, you know, H-back.
Yeah,
you know,
tight end.
He ran for 1,800 yards. You know, it's always, you know,
probably like a halfback,
you know.
Yeah,
it'll be, like I said, I mean, those, you know, it'll be a spot one. But like I said, I see Todd Boyd playing quarterback. You know, but
Kelly, Mike, you gave me an idea, though. I was just thinking, when you were talking about Ty's boy being that type of quarterback, I was thinking, like, what team you think you might could fit, what scheme and system. Your team, the Niners, man, you know, Harbaugh with his creativity, you know, he might take a shot at him and, you know, add another quarterback, like, kind of something like where, you know, Kaepernick's skills are maybe taking him. You think Harbaugh might pull a move off like that, Kelly, Mike?
I think Harbaugh has his quarterback, man.
Yeah, I don't think that that would be in the future of the 49ers right now. I mean, I think the Niners are definitely going to be looking to get another weapon for Kaepernick. I'm looking at a wide receiver. You know, there's going to be a lot of wide receivers coming out of this draft. They're going to be taken at the end of the draft. But I mean, if they can get a guy, maybe if Mike Evans will slip down, or even if they can get like an Allen Robinson kind of guy, you know, they'll definitely, you know, improve themselves. I think, you know, I mean, you know, Richard Sherman, he can't compensate it, you know. Bradley's a New York wide receiver. Maybe he is. I mean, I think we might have talked about this last year. I don't know if I beat that to number one. You know, I don't know. You know, to me, he kind of reminds me of, damn near Anquan Boldin, you know. But, even though Anquan Boldin put up great numbers, I think that, when they had Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona, you definitely could see who his number one receiver was out of those two. You know.
Yeah.
Anquan Boldin, man.
You had another receiver.
Anquan Boldin.
I'm just saying, y'all get that one receiver to add with Anquan Boldin and Michael Crabtree. Oh, man. Dangerous.
I think Kaepernick's the issue. He can't really throw the ball from the pocket that well consistently, I think. That's my thing. But anyway, we can talk about that later, bud.
Yeah. I guess I see him get a wide receiver. Like I said, while we're still talking about the draft, Carville, who do you see the Giants picking? Or what do you think their needs are?
Well, they're going to get an outside receiver because they're not going to re-sign what's the guy? Hakeem Nicks. They're not going to re-sign him.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
How
you feel about that, Carville? How you feel about that, though?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he's been hurt, so I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it, or maybe he wants more money. I don't know, but I like the Hakeem Nicks, but they want to go in a different direction. I don't know who they can get, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Is he unrestricted or restricted?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I think he's unrestricted.
Yeah.
I think he's unrestricted.
I think he is unrestricted as well.
I mean, he's not coming back, so.
But Cali Mike, I just forgot
maybe
about
they
that
get
too.
Maybe they can get Marquise Lee.
I just thought about this. Well, I forgot. Y'all got Mario Manningham, so what's the deal with him, Cali Mike? I know he got hurt, so you think he's going to be back next year?
Manningham is with the 49ers.
That's what I was saying to Cali and Mike when we talking about receiver. I forgot why they got Mario Manningham.
He could be like, okay, he's not a number one though. But Tex, what do you think the Cowboys' main needs are right now?
The Cowboys' needs?
Yeah.
Defensive tackle, because you have you're running a cover two, and. If Jason Hatcher is not going to be back, you need D tackles anyway, but you're going to need a quick penetrating three tech. They need help at defensive end. They need a safety with some range. I think they have a box man in Barry Church. I think they need a safety with some range. I wouldn't mind seeing the Cowboys draft another receiver. Miles Austin, he should be gone, but, you know, Jerry loves all his players. But they can use another wide receiver. I think they're fine at a running back, but, it's some running backs in this draft. I mean, why not just go ahead and get one if you're not going to extend DeMarco Murray, which you shouldn't extend DeMarco Murray a long time because I don't think he's a special type of running back. So they got needs everywhere, but I'd say D-tackle and safety.
It's funny you said D-tackle because, you know, a lot of draft boards have you guys taken either Louis Nix or Stephon Truitt from your favorite school, University of Notre Dame.
Yeah, they.
They
need that, and they need some. They need some explosiveness outside. I'm not sure about DeMarcus Ware at this point, but they need. They need. And Selby is good, but you know Selby would be fine. He'd be better if he was a rotational type end instead of a full time starter. So with Dallas, you're looking at D-line, and you're definitely looking at safety.
So Tex, you think it might be? So you think it's about that time? You see y'all maybe looking to maybe trade DeMarcus Ware then?
I don't know who wants. I do not know. I have no idea.
Okay. Mike, what do you think the Cowboys need?
You mean the Bears or?
I mean, yeah, the Bears. What my bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, we all know about defense. I say, of course, starts at defensive tackle. Or a couple of, I say both tackles, you know, get a nose tackle and got three technique. And possibly, of course, another pass rusher on the defensive end. Linebackers, I mean, I think we could definitely use another one at middle. Secondary, I still think we need some corners. And we could definitely use another safety, maybe two, but everybody wants to pounce on Conte. I think Conte just had a bad year. But it was Chris Conte. Yeah, Chris Conte. But
He's bad.
I think, I mean, there's some plays he's made this year, and I just think he just had a real bad year because then two was
he's
all about
He's bad. Apart. Listen to me. He's bad.
But I still think, yeah, we definitely use another safety. Offense side, I wouldn't be mad, even though defense is the priority for us, I wouldn't be mad on offense side if we first round if we draft another offensive lineman. You know, let's say, you know, that guy Robinson from Alabama, because I wouldn't mind us adding another offensive tackle. Or a guy who can, you know, can plug in and play guard, because I still think we need to, you know, add a bit more to the offensive line. Running, I think we can use another running back to complement Matt Forte. It's been talked that we might cut Michael Bush because of his cap number. He might be a guy who could be cut. And receiver. I like our receiving core of Marshall, Jeffrey, and then Earl Bennett, you know, even though I could say we could use another speed receiver, but I like Earl Bennett being our third receiver. And
yeah,
really
Marcus
like,
Wilson. Yeah, Marcus
and
Wilson.
And yeah, Marcus Wilson, too.
Him.
And Marcus
he's
Wilson.
Better than
hey, you think y'all going to get a receiver, Mike?
You never know, but I'm just saying if we had to add a speed receiver, we don't have that guy who's that game breaker, though. That's why I wish Johnny Knox hadn't had that injury. Just imagine if we had Johnny Knox to go with Rashawn Jeffrey and Marshall. Oh man.
Okay, let me step in.
You need.
Let me step in here quick. I think the Bears are fine at wide receiver. I think the Bears will be fine offensively. You understand what I'm saying? I think there's a situation with Brandon Marshall who will be in a contract year after 2014. By the way, that's a situation to monitor. So, and Mike, did you know that?
Yeah, I knew he's in a contract year. All right. I know the Bears are not going to let him walk. But they can either
okay.
They can work something out or
now,
they can franchise him.
You know, but the Bears overall, I think they're fine offensively. I don't know if you look at Chicago and you go, oh, man, you know, we must do this offensively as much as you need to look at Chicago and go, you know what? And this is given a new philosophy with the GM. Maybe we just need to develop our own players. Alshon Jeffrey, Marcus Wilson. You know, you need to rebuild your defense. That's where your needs are at. Now you can get you some depth along the offensive line. You can always use depth along the O-line. I don't think you look at the Bears and go, man, we definitely need to we need this and we need that on offense. With Tressman, I think they'll be fine offense.
With Tex, what if that guy Robinson, what if that tackle from Albert is still on the board when the Bears pick? Did you take him?
You look here. It's all about who is the best player available, and Robinson is probably not going to be there, Mike. But I'm saying you need to, you know, you have a defense to rebuild.
Yeah, but Wamble, I give you a say, but what if that Robinson guy tried to be that special player, that one-on-one player, like that tackle or left tackle, you probably keep franchise.
You're not listening.
I'm listening to what you're saying, but what if he's one of those guys, like, man, I could have been this guy, you know, that franchise tackle
but
you could have had.
But what
then
if,
trade up
but
and get him
if,
then.
What if Robinson is there and then Timmy Jernigan is there? You see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. I mean, you can, and this is a deep draft when you talk about O-line. You can build your depth along that. I don't think you're worried. You know, if you're the Bears, you're not up in arms about your offense. You're not rushing. You know, given the state of the defense with the age, with the contracts. You're not looking at your offense and going, oh, we need to, this is what, I mean, we definitely need to do this offensively. Now, if you have a need but if there's just a guy where you just, he's high on your board, an offensive player who's just high on your board and he calls to you, by all means, draft him, but I can't think anything else other than the Bears are going to rebuild that defense through the draft. And they need to, and there's tons of defensive talent, and I don't see anything different than what I'm sitting here talking about.
Yeah. I agree with you on that part. I agree with you on that. You know, build that defense through the draft and maybe, you know, add a little bit of free agency. Depends on who's out there.
So you draft, you know, at the right price. You draft your players. And you know what? Another thing is I keep seeing Bears fans want Michael Bennett. You know, he's a pretty good player. I think the Bucs let him walk. You know, he plays DN. This is the Buccaneers, who lack explosiveness off the edge anyway, and they let Mike Bennett walk. I think Michael Bennett is a fit for Seattle's defense and with all the body types that they have up there. I don't think Chicago should go signing him to a huge long-term deal.
Yeah, but I haven't been really – I think when our friends were saying about Bennett, I was saying, you know, I'm not too high on him coming to the Bears. I said, like you said, I agree. He has to say to Seattle what they do there, and I don't, you know, like you said, you're going to pay a guy big-time money because regardless, he's going to command dollars. He's not in that category of me overspending for him to come here. I'm not too sold on him. Like I was saying, if we got to get one defensive lineman in free agency, I would want to come. I would like B.J. Rodgers.
Too much. Draft your own players. Draft your own players. Develop your own players. Too much.
You think B.J. Rodgers going to command a lot more money?
He's a defensive tackle. Yes.
I like that Timmy Jernigan too. As you mentioned that coming out of FSU, I really think he's a. He's a really explosive kind of dude. The one thing that bothered me, though, at least from looking at him in the national championship game, it looks like he got winded at times. You know, it looked like he got winded. But when he was explosive, you know, watch out. You know, he shows a great first step and looks to be a very powerful guy. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. Let me bring in a caller here from the 813. Hey, what's going on? You're on the Fire Song.
What's up, people? How y'all doing?
What's up? What's
going on, Tony?
You guys have been talking about some pretty good topics. For me, I really can't say what's going to happen in the SEC next year because with
hold
the
on,
playoff
hold on one second, Tony. Hold on 1 second. Hey, can everybody please mute their phones? We're getting a lot of background noise coming in. So everybody please mute their phones so you can hear the caller. All right, go ahead, Tony.
All right. I don't know exactly what's going to happen in the SEC because with the new playoff system, I don't know. Well, of course, everybody's still playing for the SEC championship, but, you know, with the new playoff system, both teams in the SEC championship might end up in the Final Four rankings. It's all according to how they do during the year. So I really can't get myself wrapped up into who's going to be there and who's not going to be there because right now I still don't even understand exactly how they picked the top four teams. So that to me is kind of out there.
There's been a lot of secrecy around it. It's kind of weird, you know. They haven't really been, you know, besides releasing who's going to be on the panel. They haven't really released anything else about it. Almost it's gonna, you know, I don't know
right.
if it's kind of surprise people or weird though.
I think they just don't want any criticism beforehand, so that it's already ruined before you even get the first four teams. I think that's
right.
kind of what they're trying to do is keep the criticism down before they just try to destroy it before it even happens. I think that's probably what's going on with it. As far as McCarron, I thought McCarron was the best quarterback in college football this year. I thought he should have won the Heisman. He also won all of the other trophies except for the Heisman. And had he beat Auburn, he would have won the Heisman. And I've said that all year long. I've said that before, and I've been saying it. Had he beat Auburn, he would have won the Heisman. So, you know, it's all about
Please.
The undefeated guy.
Well, yeah, he would have won it because America would have wanted him to win it. That's why.
Exactly.
America would have had
now,
an excuse. America would have had an excuse to give it to him.
Well, I'm not going to get into the argument about deserving it or who was better, and I'm sure not going to discuss the freshman, but I'm just saying that had he went undefeated, he would have won the Heisman.
Folks, you guys have to understand this has been a first in human history. Tony Whatley has just said he's not going to get into an argument about something.
No, that's because I told you I refuse to mention the freshman anymore this year.
He said it last week.
You should, Winston, the best in the country.
I refuse to mention the freshman anymore this year.
Hey, but Tony, you know what Clausell said a little earlier? He said he thinks Alabama's going to win the national championship next year.
Yep, I do.
He said it, yeah.
That's the reason why I started with what I started with is because I am not going to get into how that Final Four teams are going to get there because I really don't understand the new system. I don't understand how they decide what is the top four teams because we all know that the SEC championship game is typically two of the top four teams in the nation.
Yep.
And if the SEC championship is two of the top four teams in the nation, then they may end up getting into the play. I don't know, like, for example, if let's say the SEC championship is one against two or one against three, and then three beats one, how far does one drop down? You know, I just don't know how that works, so... Because I don't know how it works, I'm not even going to try to say who's going to make it, who's going to be there, how it's going to turn out, because I really don't know the formula that they're calling themselves setting this whole championship tournament thing on. So,
well, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, like I'm avoiding it. I think there's a growing parity in college football, you know, and I mean, the fact that the two top teams out of the SEC both lost in the postseason, I mean, to me, that says volumes. So, I mean, it's like I said, it's all going to come down to the voting. you know. But I mean, I think you know, I think the gap is, you know, is starting to shrink. I mean, there was a gap, and you know, I'm thinking, like I said, especially with those top teams, like I said, the SEC. No matter what you guys tell me, the proof is shown that it's very top heavy. You know, and those top teams.
I disagree with you.
I disagree.
This year,
it's ridiculous.
This year, the SEC across the board was weaker. But I think that has to do with the fact that they've been so strong for six straight seasons that recruiting to the NFL and getting drafted to the NFL has depleted a lot of these schools' staff and I really believe and rosters, and I believe that they are in a rebuilding stage, so that over the next two or three years, it's going to take a few of those teams to really recruit well to solidify themselves.
I disagree with that. I don't think the SEC was down this. Wait, I think the SEC was down this year in comparison to previous years, but I still think by far it was clearly the best conference.
I agree.
I think that, I just think Florida State
was
just better than all the
teams in the past.
Yes, it was weaker this year than it's been in the past. I just think Florida State was just that much better than everybody. Well, I don't want to say that much better. I just think Florida State was just better than every team in the SEC.
Alabama lost to Oklahoma, too, and they got their ass to it. But, I mean, I don't want to get
– Yeah, because they didn't want to play in that game.
But
I don't
but,
believe that.
But, anyway,
Oklahoma,
you know, like,
you better believe it.
Oh, you defense. That was a factor, man.
You know, me and you have talked about the subject of a lot of these schools becoming football factories, just getting top guys because they know they're going to go to the NFL. And, you know, now we're talking about, you know, the replenishing. Do you think that has a big effect also on the SEC? Because it seems like a lot of these guys, they know that they're going to come to a school, be there for 3 years, and then leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing is, like I said last week, as a college instructor, I think everybody should get a degree. Now, some of these kids, they're getting their degree before they graduate. I'm not saying that all of them aren't, but I really think that the priority in college should become education, because so many of these kids are going out there and they think that their whole life is going to be the NFL and those millions of dollars, and then you run into an injury in your first rookie year, and next thing you know, you're back in the projects. And
if
you don't get that education, you're stuck.
Well, who do you think the majority of that burden should fall on? The college, the kids, or the parents?
The college, without a doubt, because the president of that college has control over the athletic director and the athletic program. And I think that he should set standards that say, you don't just bring people in here that are here to play football. I want my college to be a college of academics. And I think that he can set that standard. Him and the board for that university can set that standard, and he can say at a minimum, before they can get in here, they got to have a certain SAT, and before they leave, they have to have completed a certain amount of credit hours so that they can say that they were part of this team. That's just like at the University of Florida. I know a lot of Florida colleges. You can't pledge a fraternity as a freshman. Why? Because so many of these kids come in and they just want to be in the social life and the girls and all of that kind of stuff, and they're not focused on academics. And because they're not focused on academics, they get shoved off into this extracurricular activity, and before you know it, they're failing out of college. And,
well, I mean, that's
people
true,
have set
but,
it
you
up
know,
to
not,
where
not,
they say you can't do it.
You're not going to get the swamp to full capacity watching, you know, smart kids run around the football field. They want to see football players, not student athletes.
I agree. You don't have to be brilliant to be able to go to class and pass a test. I mean, a 2.5 is the minimum that you have to be a football player or an athlete.
And you hear them every week talking about how these guys, he's a 3.0 and a 3.7. I mean, that sounds wonderful, but you don't have to be a 3.0 or a 3.7. You just have to be good enough to pass your test and go out there and play football.
Yep.
I was gonna say it's good. I know I was gonna kind of bring it up. I guess it's not NFL subject, but I guess it's probably news that at then I guess they kind of covered up some. But y'all heard that Vince Young just filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, that's a big
yep.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal to me.
Let's talk about that NFL though. We're on college right now. But
yeah, like I say, I look at schools in the SEC. I mean, I don't know if the college has a vested interest in, you know, what these kids do outside of college. I mean,
that's a real problem, Mike. I mean, even to hear you say that out your mouth, that's a real problem.
What'd you say?
I mean, come on, you have to have a vested interest in these kids. That's why you're there.
But there's a lot of pressure at these schools to win though. I mean, look at what they were covering up at Penn State to keep the football program afloat. That was rape and molestation. You know, so you think
they're
not gonna matter,
you're
not gonna matter.
You're really
up
taking
that
out of proportion.
And that brought money and that brings dollars too. So you know when it's all about money, you know how things are.
You have to understand that had nothing to do with the actual college program. That man was not a coach at the University of Penn State.
All right, let's move on from that. What I'm saying is you might as well just let these players go straight from high school to the pros. That's what I believe. Or let them sit on a roster.
Not football.
Well, hey, that's the only solution to the problem. Let them, like,
I mean, what effect do you think that would have on football?
Oh, man, that's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah, the quality of play would be horrible. I'll give you that. But that's the only solution to the problem.
Yeah,
for me, as an academic, I just can't see where that makes sense because the purpose for college is an education.
Well,
I understand that while you're getting your education, you are trying your best to get into the leagues, whether that be NBA, whether that be MLB, or whether that be NFL. But at the same time, while you're in college, you need to focus on getting your education because, like they say on those commercials, 75% of the people that go into college athletics come out and do something that has nothing to do with athletics.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think maybe if football had a farm system like baseball, you know, or a D league like college or like basketball? Do you think that might, you know, help out maybe some or I mean I guess I don't know. I mean what do you think about that? Like maybe like a farm system for football?
No, farm system for football wouldn't work because age matters in football. That's why
yeah.
you need these 22, 23-year-olds because by the time you're 27 and you've been taking that punishment for 4 and 5 years, you're almost done. You can't go to a farm system and take punishment for 2 or 3 years before you ever even make it to the NFL. Then you're used property.
But I mean, Tony, on the same hand though, you're asking guys to go to college and take for 4 years. I mean, there's players we've seen go to college and get injured and never play it down in the NFL.
Right, but at the same time, if they go to college and get injured, at least they leave with a degree.
Not necessarily. I mean, if you go to, you know. Athletic scholarships are based on 1 year only. You know, they're renewed every year, so it's not guaranteed.
Exactly. But what I'm saying to you is, whether they're renewed or not, you had to be accepted to the university before you were accepted to the football team. So even if your scholarship gets canceled, you have still been accepted at that university so that you can stay and finish your degree if you want. They cannot cut you from the. They cannot cut you from the university because they cut you from the football team.
I mean, what if they don't have a scholarship? They can't pay for it. Most of these guys can't pay for that.
financial aid. There's ways to do it. But what I'm saying is you don't just get accepted to a university because of a football team. No matter how much of a great football player you are, that university has to accept you as a student first.
Yeah, but some programs have that, what is it, Title IX or whatever that exemption is, where they can take kids in and have them take remedial
Title
IX
is for women.
Regular. Okay, well, what are, you know what I'm talking about. I forget what the name
yeah.
it is, but there's some exemption where they can come in and take remedial classes that aren't really college courses.
Oh, yeah. They do that. I mean, community colleges do that. There's a lot of things where you can take those remedial classes to get yourself up to par and this, that, the other. But what I'm saying is even in that, you still have to be accepted by that university first before you could even practice or be part of an athletic team. You have to be accepted by the university so that if that athletic team cuts you, you're still accepted by the university. You can still get your college degree.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't know if that's what mine the most players are. I mean, like I said, it's not
also,
to say that, but I think that's what you've got to think about.
Also, too, remember NFL Europe, that's no longer, and that was kind of like you say, you know, outside and in Europe, that was still kind of like a development league with some players that came to the NFL, and you see, that's not there no more.
Yeah, I think they're still trying to do something with that NFL Europe thing because they keep sending those teams every year to Europe. So something's still up. They just ain't talking about it no more.
Well, they actually, I don't want to get too far into it, they actually have actual football teams in NFL, I mean, in Europe, that play football, American style, you know, that are professional or semi-pro teams. They just don't play under the NFL Europe banner, but they have different cities have different teams. It's weird. I didn't know it until I actually looked it up, but different cities have different teams, and they usually get like
they've got to be building that. Why do you think they do that whole game every single year in Europe? They don't do it just to do it. There's got to be a reason behind taking a Pittsburgh Steelers and Minnesota Vikings and sending them to Europe to play a football game. There's a bigger picture to that somewhere.
They're going to out there. I just don't know on what level they're going to do it on. But, I could definitely see them going back out there. But let's switch gears. Let's move into our NFL portion. I want to review this game we had last week. Let's start off with the Patriots and Denver Broncos while we have Tony on here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Tony. Peyton Manning.
Tony, your boy Peyton Manning. He sucks. What happened?
Yeah.
Let's wait.
Let's get some proper perspective, gentlemen. I told you Peyton Manning sucks in the crunch. One more time. The word is in the crunch. Peyton Manning was never placed in the crunch in this game. Denver had a comfortable lead the entire game.
And how'd they get that lead?
Because Tom Brady and New England's offense didn't play well. It wasn't like Peyton Manning was tearing them up. They were kicking field goals.
My goodness. He just refused to give that man credit. What did he do to you?
So I'm lying?
Man.
I know you people.
They were kicking field goals.
And I know you people.
You refused to give that man credit for anything.
No.
You guys are just suckers.
All right, y'all hear it on CMT Firestorm. As much as I dislike Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. But he's not a finisher. That's the bottom line.
I get what you're saying, Tony. This Super Bowl next week, it's all at stake tomorrow for the guy because we all know that last Super Bowl he didn't play his best. And really the first Super Bowl he won, I didn't think he played his best. I mean he played all right, but the last one he was terrible.
It's just like that guy that can score you 45 points in basketball, but he misses that last second win the game shot. every single time. Yeah, he scored 45 points, which means after 10, 15 years in the NBA, he is always going to be seen as a Hall of Famer and a great basketball player. But if he always misses that last second shot, then what good is he?
Yep. Yep, and that's why I got Seattle this game. I got Seattle winning this game.
Amen.
I got Seattle too, but let's.
I got Denver. I said it on Sunday, so it's already been stated, even before the NFC was wrapped up.
Yeah. Let's finish up with our review of these games real quick. What stood out to you guys about the Broncos and Patriots? I mean, were there any glaring, you know, weaknesses or strengths that stood out about either team, you guys?
Well, first of all, I want to say, you know, Aqib Talib, I think he's the most valuable player on that defense, and you can tell when he got injured, the Broncos, I mean not the Broncos, but the Patriots weren't the same team defensively. So, mm-hmm. And I said earlier this year when Tex and Shatown, you were laughing at me when I said he's a top five corner, and I was like, y'all just bust up and laughed at me. I said, hey, you know, the proof's in the pudding. He's been playing like a top five corner this year. So, I mean, you got to get that man his due, man.
My question is, do y'all agree with the coach when he said that Wes Welker's shot on Talib was illegal?
No. I think it was illegal, yeah.
No, the Patriots are the masters of doing that kind of crap. They're always crying every time they lose. They're the masters of doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you're trying to pick somebody. You picking somebody with Wes Welker's little ass. You get him hurt again. You get him another concussion. I'm not going to pick somebody.
I agree with you there.
They get
hurt. You know what?
Hell, you're his size. You want to be picking? I'm gonna pick you with Julius Thomas. I'm not gonna pick you with Wes Welker. I mean, no.
You just saying
no
what Ed Ward
said,
man.
Look at him. He didn't even want to be there. He didn't want to be where he was at on the field on that play.
Well, I was just asking if you saw any validity in it. For me, it wasn't that big a deal.
No, you know what? Again, New England, they're the king of that kind of stuff, the little rubs. They the king of that kind of stuff. You know, everybody, when they're not winning, everybody thinks, you know, folks try to find a way where they just can't win. I mean, just take it. You know, you have your little thing against Wes Welker. Okay, you didn't want him. You know, he didn't fit into your offense. You slotted him as a slot receiver, and you weren't willing to pay him to play a role on your team. He didn't mean to do anything. That's the thing about it. They petty sometimes. Brady, Belichick, you know, they're petty. You're a Hall of Fame coach. You got a Hall of Fame quarter. You just stop being petty, man. You know that.
You think they get a pass from the media when it comes to stuff like that?
Yeah. And you know what? Belichick has been a mediocre GM here for a few years now. Instead, he's getting a pass, man.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, he has.
Well, I've said it before. I'm not really that big on Belichick as a coach, period. I mean, he's a good coach, but, I mean, like I've noticed certain stuff that's been going on since they were in their primetime era that it's like it's different now, and it's like, okay, you know, decisions that he's made, it's like it's made me question, you know. So, I mean, like, I've never
– His in-game situational coaching is suffering now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a New England Patriots fan, but because they're always in the mix, you have to watch them. And this year, New England, from the very first game of the week, they have had some serious injuries. I mean, every single one of their major players has been seriously injured. And had they had their tight end, I think that championship game would have been a whole different game.
I don't know about that, because they couldn't stop the Broncos. The Broncos haven't ended a drive on their own side of the field yet these playoffs. They couldn't stop them.
But they only won by a touchdown.
It don't matter.
Had you had their tight end in there and they were scoring touchdowns instead of field goals, it could have been a whole different game.
We aren't doing style points in the playoffs. All we're doing is we're going to go win. We're going to do what we need to do to go win. And nobody's calling it out, but Denver called the dogs off of New England several times. I watched that game again. They called them dogs off. Just a couple of times where they could have took that to the air and they could have killed them. And they chose
okay,
to run
but at
that
the
route.
Same time, you cannot tell me that with Gronkowski in the game, New England wouldn't have played a different game.
They played the same game that they were going to come out and play, which is they needed to come out and pass that rock. They did, and I was telling everybody, watch. You're harping on their run game and how they so physical, but they know better. And New England is a chameleon offense. One week they're one way, and the next week they're another way. Never are they the same two straight weeks. That's not in their get-up. And they came out, and they passed that rock, just like I told folks they was going to pass that rock. That was the only way they could win that game, because Denver fields a top-7 run defense that's very stout. You know, folks so caught up in the Patriot mystique, you're trying to look at the past. You don't want to look at the now. You don't want to recognize the matchups. You don't want to recognize the scheme versus the other team's scheme. You just want to go Brady,
but Tex,
Belichick.
What you're not doing is you're not hearing what I'm saying to you. Had Peyton Manning not had Thomas in that game, Denver's game would have been a different game. Just like
with Brady not having Gronkowski.
That is his main receiver that he doesn't have when he needs him. Had Peyton Manning not had Thomas this game, look at what Thomas did that game.
Oh,
without Thomas, where would they be?
You understand how Denver's offense works, first of all? You understand how their offense works?
That's not what I asked you. You see how important Thomas was to that game. Imagine Thomas not being there for that game.
Thomas, their offense doesn't revolve around one receiver.
I'm saying look at the result of the game. You see how important Thomas was to the game. Imagine Thomas not being in the game.
You want to know who the most And when you're talking scheme, you want to know who the most important player on that offense is? Julius Thomas.
I'm talking about that game. I'm not talking about statistically. I'm talking about that game.
About,
in that game, the most important person was Thomas.
You called Thomas' name. Thomas had the best stats. The offense is not built around him. It's not built around one player exclusively. That's what you're not understanding.
No,
so
if
take the stats
that Thomas had and make them zero for that last game and tell me where Denver would be right now. Because what Tom Brady was going through. His best receiver was gone.
Okay.
His best receiver was gone. Yes, he had other receivers. Yes,
he
they
was
did
great
their part.
While he was
but
winning,
his
though.
Best
he
receiver
was
gone.
Winning. He was great while he was winning, though, right? So
he was winning with Gronkowski.
Wait a second, but he was great. He was great even when he didn't have Gronkowski.
Come on.
Gronkowski only played like three or four games. You can't switch the narrative. I mean, the Broncos offense is a multi. I mean, they do everything. I mean, do I need to break it down? You know,
no, you don't
Thomas
need to break it down, but you need to admit that had Thomas not been in that game, it would have been a different game.
Oh, it wouldn't have been a different game because you still got Welker, still have Julius Thomas, you still have Marino, you still have Tammy.
You know what the
best kept secret on Denver's offense is? You're not even seeing the best athlete they have at tight end. You ain't seeing Virgil Green out there. You seeing Julius Thomas. So they have people. This is an offense that works around everybody. You have Decker. You have Decker, the possession man. He's going to work short. He's going to work deep. Demaryius Thomas is working deep, and he's coming back short. Notice how when Demaryius don't get off, Decker or Thomas or Welker explode. I understand
again,
how the offense works.
You are
it
missing
the
point.
Way
like I said, had he had the stats for Thomas, what would Denver have done this week?
Why you always got to be like, what if, you know?
But because
why is it
you're going to tell me that the outcome
is you're insulting Tony, but you're the main one saying you don't care about stats.
No, this ain't about stats. What I'm saying is about how important a player is to the game. Are you guys going to sit here and tell me that not having Gronkowski in the AFC Championship game did not make a clear difference in the New England Patriots offense?
Okay, look,
it would have helped,
and it's that way until they lose, and then when they lose, Gronkowski is that important?
Yes or no?
Yeah. And
did you not see
Thomas,
a clear difference in the absence of Gronkowski in that game?
Oh,
but Tony, we knew going into this game Gronkowski was not going to be playing, and you still had them as the favorite. So what'd that mean? I mean,
You act like I picked New England because I thought they were going to be good through the season. I picked New England before the season even started.
But Tony, though, it wasn't even guaranteed. Gronkowski was still injured there. Remember, it wasn't even guaranteed that he was going to play this season when you picked those dudes.
Okay,
but I was seeing that
Gronkowski was going to be there, and with Gronkowski there, they did exactly what I thought they would do. They breezed through the AFC East. They had no problem with the AFC East. That made them win their division. And they had home field advantage for that first game. They were going to be in the AFC Championship game. That is exactly what they did. Exactly what I said they would do.
Even when he came back, he wasn't the same way. He wasn't the same tight end, man. I mean, I don't think he was 100% at all any time this season. He never had a real Gronkowski type of game.
But at the same time, you guys cannot just blow out the fact that the New England Patriots did not have their superstar receiver in the AFC Championship game.
And he didn't have his best game. I mean, the Broncos had him in check.
Excuses.
Well, let's move on, man.
Oh, yeah. I have to say those are excuses. I'm tired of people making excuses for the Patriots, to really tell you the truth. But let's move on to the other game. Now.
Okay, so I don't want to hear the excuses for Peyton Manning when Sherman show out on his ass in the Super Bowl, right?
Okay, you won't, though, but you won't. If you show out.
All right, when Sherman gets two interceptions Peyton Manning looks like Peyton Manning always does in the crunch, I don't want y'all on here the Wednesday after talking about,
you won't hear that from me, but we expect not to hear old butt when we talk about New England in the mystique, you know, that's been missing since when they last done something.
Okay, but at the same time, the AFC Championship game is when you needed him the most. That's when you go against your toughest opponent. And they needed him and didn't have him.
Man, you know. Yeah. Broncos needed Adrian Peterson or something.
Yeah.
Broncos don't have Adrian Peterson.
Let's talk about the Niners and Seahawks game. What were you guys' take on this game? Any surprises? Like I said, I think, we were talking about earlier, I think the Niners – I think they do need to draft a receiver. I don't know if Crabtree is a really a number one receiver. I think they need a new receiver. Now, Clauzel, you were saying that you didn't think that Colin Kaepernick is that good throwing from the pocket. I mean, why do you say that?
I just think maybe it's just Seattle. I mean, Seattle. I just have this feeling I think the 49ers could have won the game if just Kaepernick could have delivered the ball from the pocket better. I mean, he made some good throws, some of them, but then there's sometimes it was like, you know, it was like he didn't really have it there, you know.
Can't get off the first read.
Yeah, so it's like I think he needs to improve on that. in the off season or something. I don't know how he's going to do that, but he's going to have to improve on that. I mean, he's a great athlete. He can run well in the open field. You can see, you clearly saw that in the game. But in terms of like just him maturing, developing as a pocket passer, I think he needs to work on that. I just didn't see that. Well, I saw some spots of that in the game on Sunday. But maybe I could just say it's Seattle in their secondary though too. So, you know. But I think he just needs to improve in the offseason.
But Clive, you said about Kaepernick, but what about Russell Wilson? I think Kaepernick had a better game than Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson needs to still improve a little bit better too. So,
but he made a dime. He had a dime there at the end of that game. It was his numbers, and he dimed it. And Kaepernick, that last throw on that interception, I don't have a problem with him taking the shot right there. It has to be a throw that only Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Manning can make. It has to hit the back of the pylon. Got to get it back there.
Yeah.
That's the kind
I think Russell Wilson is just like that freshman from FSU. He's a manager of the team. He is not the superstar of the team. He's surrounded by great talent. He's good when he needs to be good, but other than that, he just manages a great team.
But Tony, he don't have no great talent around. The only guy he really has is Marshawn Lynch.
And on offense, you got that great runner that makes those receivers able to get open. And then if you can manage getting that ball to those receivers, you keep moving that ball down the field.
I think Golden Tate is all right, but he ain't that stud receiver. But other than that,
right?
I
agree. He doesn't have any like Hall of Fame superstar receivers out there. But he's got people that do their part for the team. That's why Seattle will win this Super Bowl. They are a team, a solid team, a defensive team, and an offensive team. Every single person does their part. It's not a oh my God, we need you, Peyton.
What about, look at that, what about Denver, though? They're not a solid all-around team? No, they are not.
They're oh, my God, we need you, Peyton.
Oh, no, they're not.
Just like they've always been. Everywhere Peyton Manning's been, he's always been the oh, my God, please show up for us, Peyton, and he always
up. You need your quarterback. Regardless of the team, you need your quarterback. Got to have a quarterback in this league, otherwise the coach gets fired and the team gets rebuilt.
But when you have a team that every single player is doing their part, that's how you win. That's just like it's easy for Belichick to say that was a bad call when Tlaib got hit. But the point is that boy went out there and did his part to take out the one man that they knew they had to get rid of if Peyton Manning was going to be able to get them completion.
Okay, and Tlaib had a negative grade before he left the game. He had a negative grade versus Demaryius Thomas before he left the game. He had a negative grade.
It doesn't matter.
It matters.
Welker did his part for the team.
Because actually, he didn't do anything, though. He didn't do anything versus the run or the pass before he left the game. He was in the negative. Their secondary was in the negative. Their best player was Jamie Collins.
But you talk like Denver's offense went out there and just blew New England out. That is not what happened.
They kicked four field goals. They were efficient. They were surgical.
No, you make it seem like they went out there and scored seven touchdowns. They kicked four field goals and scored two touchdowns.
They were surgical. They moved the ball at will. They go 3rd and 15 and they run it for 27 yards. They were surgical, and that's what
you're kissing on Peyton's finger like he's the Don or something. But they didn't really do anything on offense.
They were pretty good on offense. They were deadly efficient. They really, really were. When you look at the game and you put stats aside, like how many touchdowns they scored and how many field goals they kicked.
I agree. The one thing that was the difference is they scored every time. It seemed like they scored every time they got the ball. But New England's offense stuttered and staggered and did not get off the rock. That is the difference. It wasn't that Denver's defense was so much greater than New England's defense.
But Tony, Denver's defense neutralized New England's running attack. They pretty much employ LeGarrette Blount. He had a coach's decision. Belichick didn't even put the man back in the game.
They hit blood in the mouth.
Did y'all notice how smooth we started talking about New England and Denver again? That has been real smooth. But let's get back on the subject here so you can start moving on to some of this other stuff. I want to
like I was saying at the beginning of the show, I think Clyde Cheese your one receiver. I think y'all definitely could use it. I mean, not definitely need another receiver to go along with him.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, my thing is, hold on. I think this whole situation with Crafty, I think it's going to make him a better player. Because I think, like, if you look at his stats, man, outside of this year, because he was hurt for a lot of this year, I mean, he got better every year. So I think, you know, I mean, this might propel him to being a top 15, top 10 receiver, man. You know,
a top 5 receiver.
You think Crafty's a top 5 receiver?
In the top 5, top 10 category, he is, to me.
I'll give him top 15, but I'm not giving him top 15. I think he's gotten better every year.
I think he's better because
he's been in the league.
Top 15, regardless of health.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I think this is going to propel him to be a better receiver, what Richard Sherman calls him out. So, I mean, because he came in the league thinking he was going to be a top 15 receiver. So, you know, I think it's a good thing for him, man. It's going to make him a better receiver, I think, in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
Richard Sherman, you don't think that all this negative publicity and all these
calling
him a thug and all of this stuff, that is going to motivate that boy to show out in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we'll get into that. But, you know, I mean, the thing like you said about Crabtree, it's either going to make him or break him. And with his injuries, I just don't know, you know, what his limit is going to be. You know, he's been very injury prone. And, you know, he's never been fast enough to be a number one receiver. Not even fast enough.
But he's a young guy. He's still young.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a young guy who's had two serious injuries already, which is bad. You know, and like I said, I don't know if he's ever shown that quickness to, you know, to show that he can be a real number one wide receiver. And, you know, and like I say, he's only getting older. He's a young guy, but he's not a young guy. You know, this is what his fourth or fifth season. You know, so he's not a super young guy anymore. But let me put you on hold real quick, Tony. I want to bring in another caller. Looks like this is Jane.
Get a James in here. Hey, what's going on, man? You're on CMT Firestorm.
Hey, first off, I would like to shout out LOP. it looks like y'all were just going through the AFC Championship game so far.
Yeah, we were talking about the AFC Championship, yep.
I mean, that game was pretty much a blowout for most of the game. Didn't seem like New England could really do anything, especially in the first half. Brady was off his game. He missed a lot of throws. He barely had 200 passing yards by the third quarter, midway through the third quarter, as far as I know. But they couldn't utilize all their receivers and their running backs against the Denver defense. I forgot about one fourth down play they didn't convert, which was key because, I mean, if Denver scored a touchdown then instead of a field goal, it would have been over then. But still, you know, for New England to go for it instead of kicking a field goal to at least get some points on the board, and they still couldn't convert, then that pretty much sealed the game for them. And on the offensive side of the ball for Denver, they could pretty much do everything on the field. And they had, like, the short routes were, like, open for them all game. The middle was open for them all game. So it was almost like a scrimmage. because New England didn't do anything to defend the middle, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, James.
Yeah.
What improvements do you think maybe that New England needs to make an offseason last year?
Oh, what was that?
What improvements do you think New England needs to make an offseason?
The Patriots? Well, I mean, we don't know what they're going to do on offense since they didn't have the tight end. So we'll see what happens when they get their tight end back. And they probably might get one more receiver off free agency or draft. So we're going to see about that one. All right.
I was going to say, I think to me, New England definitely have with their draft picks. I mean, I was just saying myself after that game, they definitely need a big-time receiver. I was saying, why if New England might try to entertain a deal to try to get, you know, a receiver like Andre Johnson, which, you know, he wants to win. And I think Houston's going in a different direction. And I think Andre Johnson will be a good fit for him to go to New England and pair up with Tom Brady because he definitely need a receiver. You don't have a one receiver.
That's an interesting idea, Mike. I mean, I don't know if England, you know, if that's going to be enough trade bait for Houston to do that. But that, like I said, that's an interesting idea. I see New England. I don't even see New England drafting a wide receiver. I see them drafting another tight end. I was looking at them maybe taking a guy out of North Carolina, Eric Ebron, or going with the guy from Washington, Austin Spar Jenkins. I think that they like that tight end game there, and I think they've shown they can kind of plug in different wide receivers, but their tight end right now is their strong suit. I think Brady likes those big guys over there.
Will you give credit to Denver's defense on how they handled Tom Brady, or you just think Tom Brady had one in his game? Because I think Denver's defense just did it to him.
Hello?
Hello, James?
Mm-hmm.
I guess we lost.
I don't know. He dropped. James dropped.
All right. Let's look at 407 here. Hey, what's going on, man? You're on 55 now.
What's going on? What y'all talking about?
AFC and NFC Championship.
New England and Denver and San Francisco and Seattle.
Y'all talking about New England and Denver as far as, like, the what did I think of the out of the game? Or the outcome?
Yeah,
just
the game. Would you take away from it, you know?
It was just a game where, you know, Denver just straight up outplayed them, man. And I think New England, they offensive line got exposed a little bit, you know what I mean? Y'all talking about them getting tight ends. I think they might need some offensive linemen because I don't think Tom Brady wants to have to sit right there and throw the ball out super quick every play just to make something happen. Because their offensive line got dominated in that game, man. Pot roast, Terrence Knighton, he was a beast. So I think they might try to revamp their offensive line. And Ebron, I mean, that's not a bad way to go. I mean, Andre Johnson, I don't know if he would be the right fit in that offense. I mean, I heard what Mike said, but I don't think he'd be the right fit in that offense.
And what about San Francisco, Seattle?
San Francisco, Seattle, I mean, I think San Francisco had that game in right where they needed it to be, and Colin Kaepernick just made a bad decision and threw to the wrong guy, man. He should have, you have the ball towards the end of the game in a tight game just the way you want it to be, and you made a bad decision and threw it to the wrong guy. I mean, that's just what it boils down to, you know. I enjoyed the game. That game was one of the best games in the playoffs. It's just the fact that San Francisco seemed like they were the better team. They did what they were supposed to do, and they just came up short in the end.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that, Steve. I thought San Francisco was the better team than Seattle.
The thing about the Niners
that
I really like going forward is, like I said, they're still young. And folks got to remember, I just saw it yesterday. They're just now starting to get Marcus Lattimore to where he's completely healthy now. So look out for look out for him next year too.
And also too, even though people forget, though, this was kind of like Kaepernick's rookie year because this was his first full year starting. You know, from week one to all the way to the playoffs. Where last year, you know, he came when he came in, so it was some growing pains he was going through. So you know, that's something to build for him, for Kaepernick. I think he's gonna be a much better quarterback next year.
San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, Kaepernick's gonna be fine, man. I mean, you know. It's just that with a team like this, such high expectations of how good they are, expect the quarterback to be a lot better. But, you know, like you said, judging where he's at in this stage, I think he's going to be just fine.
They just going to get a running game going, man.
All right. Let's get to the nitty-gritty now. You know what happened after the game with Richard Sherman. I think I have the sound for that, actually. Let me make sure if I got the sound or not. I'm not sure. Let me see. Do I have the sound? Yeah, I have the sound for this. All right. So I want you guys to listen to this, okay? Hold on. My bad.
Let's send you down to the field and Aaron Andrews.
Joe, thank you so much. Richard, let me ask you, the final play, take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you find me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to set it for you real quick. L.O.B.
Right, yeah. Joe, back over to you.
What Richard Sherman did at the end of that play.
All right, so now that caused a lot of controversy in the media. We all know what happened. So, you know, with America calling Richard Sherman a thug, you can't take the N-word. You can take the N-word out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the N-word. So, you know, stuff like that on Twitter. Just a backlash from quote-unquote America. So I want to know, what's your take on this, and where do we go forward from this? What's your thoughts on the backlash of this, and where do we go forward? So let me start with you, Shottown. What's your take on this?
Man, making the big deal out of that. That man, like you said, we all know football is a motion game. Man made a play so far of his life in this young NFL career. Hey, I had no problem with it. We all know how it is, the media. You know, we kind of doing this media show, but, hey, they blowing things, pushing on it. Hey, you know, it's on national TV, on Fox. The outlash of it, man, just show you, man, hey, America's still America. We all know it ain't nothing new. We've seen how it was during the last election of our president. You see, it's still racism in this country. Hate to say it's going to probably be like that after we leave this this earth.
All right, what about you, Tex?
What you want to know?
Just tell me what you feel, man. Tell me your honest opinion, man. Lay it all on them.
Man, yeah, which part, though? I mean,
what's your reaction to... what's your reaction to the backlash, and also what do you expect to happen leading up to the Super Bowl in regards to the backlash?
Go ahead. What were you about to say?
I mean, what's your take on the media look towards the Super Bowl? How is it going to be? Because I'm gonna say my point after you, and then we'll go to Cali Mike. Like, what's your?
This is I didn't have an issue with it. It wasn't a big deal. Me, you know, you always hear stuff about sportsmanship and blah blah blah. You know, a guy like Larry Bird used to sneak these people in. in his little interview snippets, and nobody really has an issue. I you know, this is just a thing where America, and this is the thing about black athletes. We have a certain type of swagger. There's a certain way that we walk, that we talk, we dress a certain way, and yes, everybody does follow, or tries to be that. But you know, suburbia is afraid of this type of this brash athlete. This is not how they want black athletes. We have to run fast, like we running from the cops in the hood or something like that, and keep our mouths shut. And suburbia doesn't want this. I mean, that's why I've been saying my whole thing is America's just not ready. It's okay to criticize Sherman for what he did, but the racial part of it is just ridiculous. You know, in hockey games they have weekly kumites. You understand what I'm saying? And we're not going off on hockey players talking about their thugs and they're this and they're that. You know, it's just they don't. This is not what America is ready for. You know, because it won't fit inside their comfort zone. They can't. You can't put it in their bubble. So it's automatically unacceptable. So this is what he is. Although you just know Richard Sherman for 60 minutes off of what you see on TV. You don't know. You know, 99% of the people on this earth, 99.9, don't really know him outside of what they see on the television anyway. But you know, I like this though. I love this because I like black athletes that don't give a damn about white folks and how they feel about it. I don't like black athletes that are always caring about how the public feels about them. I mean, you know, nobody's a serial killer, nobody's a rapist or anything like that. But I like it, you know, Richard Sherman has some, you know, I don't give a damn anymore. And I like that. I like that coming from black athletes, because even if he wasn't doing that, he'd still be a thug. And when he have a three-piece suit on and he could talk nice, and he'd still be a nigger. So
thank you.
I don't take issue. Is this something that I would have did that Sherman did? No, because you know I'm kind of quiet. I don't like to be loud. That's just me. You know, that's just my personality. But I can't find a way to have an issue with what Sherman did. And you know, it's, you know, you can't, and that's just America. Like I said, you can't put it in a bubble. Oh, you know, and these same people that can't fit it in a bubble, they let their kids watch wrestling. They let them play Grand Theft Auto. They get to watch Teen Mom and all these reality shows and Honey Boo Boo get to watch Duck Dynasty, and they love Duck Dynasty. So, you know, these people are hypocrites. You know what I'm saying? You just have to get over it, and you have to accept it. And the best part of it is Richard Sherman doesn't give a damn what you think sitting in your recliner, you know, trying to level somebody. So, you know, don't be mad.
All right. Well, my take on it is, I think, I wouldn't really go the route that he went. I don't think he did a good thing by saying what he had to say. But at the same time, the backlash. See, this is the thing where Richard Sherman, people need to stop. Us as people, we need to stop acting like this. It's like, okay, wow, I thought we have changed since then. I thought we have came so far. Come on, man. Each one of us and everybody on hold knows that this stuff doesn't surprise you. Everybody knows that mess. So we need to stop acting like this surprises us, that people will react that way. But I think this is basically Richard Sherman doing that has triggered a lot of white America to go for the Broncos because they want to see Sherman lose. So I think this is going to be very similar to Super Bowl 22 where Doug Williams played Doug Williams and the Washington Redskins played John Elway and the Denver Broncos, where everybody in white America went for John Elway and the Denver Broncos, and everybody in black America went for the Redskins. So I think this Super Bowl is going to be very similar to that dynamic. Not that I want to equate Richard Sherman to what Doug Williams did. I don't even want to go that far. But what I'm saying is I think that it's going to be that situation where everybody's going to go for the Broncos, except for probably black America who's going to go for the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I mean, there will be some people that will go for Seattle Seahawks that are not black, obviously, and vice versa. But I think that's what this is going to boil into now, because Richard Sherman is probably going to be number one, regardless of if he apologizes or not. And I go back to what Tech said. Hey, it doesn't even matter. You know, they're still going to put him in that category as the N-word. So I think that's what this has turned to. And I'm interested to see what happens. All right, let me see what your take is on Cali, Mike. And then we're going to get into the callers, too.
Basically, to me, it came down to two things. First, you know, like Tech said, he's going to be what people want him to be no matter what. You can't, I've learned, and most of y'all have too, you can't please all the people all the time. You know, you're always going to have somebody trying to hate you and trying to stop you. You know, I'm glad it happened. I wish he had apologized. I don't care about what he said. I think people get too into all that. You know, I mean, If that many people are worried about people being humble, these people must not ever play online games or play Call of Duty or nothing, where everybody's on there talking crap and cursing people's mamas out and saying people is garbage. So where are all these conservative people at then? You know, and it just I'm glad all the backlash of this came on Martin Luther King's first holiday too. You know, just to show America what kind of country we really are. You know, like I said, this is one of the things of why we are the worst. And I can't wait until China or whoever comes over and takes this country over. I'm tired of this. But
you think it's gonna be better? Hold on. You think it's gonna be better if you go? Well, people from overseas, they whatever. I don't even want to say nothing. That's another conversation. So we need to keep on the point. You think they like us over there too?
anyway. It can't be much worse. Like I said, when I was overseas, I got much love, much more than I got from here. When I was over in China and Japan, they got much love, much than they got from over here. So, you know, you can be the judge of yourself. So anyway, let me finish. But like I said, the other thing is, you know, but like I said, it came on Martin Luther King's birthday. I'm glad that happened. You know, I mean, did y'all see that there was a hockey coach that ran into the other man that tried to go and fight the other players, and nobody called him a thug? I mean, so much stuff happens that shows hypocrisy of the racist system in this country. It's really a shame. The other part of this, what really is the underlying factor in all this too that nobody's been talking about, is the real reason this blew up is because he was talking to Aaron Andrews. Now, Aaron Andrews is fine. Just want to get that out of the way. But there's one fine woman there. You know, from her,
I think she's
from her being
right,
a little,
man.
You know,
you
from
know,
her
they,
being a cute blonde white woman, that's going to force everybody, you know, to try to come in and be the protector. Oh, the big black brute, you know, this and that. You know, it's like, for one, you know, it's like I said, what people don't realize is like that. That era is over. If you look at Aaron Andrews, that didn't even faze her. You know, like I said, this is a woman. She's been a sportscaster for, you know, 10 or something years. She's been in locker rooms around dudes. You know, like I said, she's fine. She didn't have people spy on her in a hotel room. This is somebody who not a lot is going to faze her. You know, you could tell, like I said, that didn't even faze her. You know, so I don't think everybody needs to come out and be the white knight and try to protect her and this and that, you know. I mean, that's the dynamic that was behind all this. A black man being aggressive next to a white woman, and it made everybody's comfort zone. So it was out of everybody's comfort zone, so everybody went crazy. You know, and that's all it was.
Yeah.
Like I said, like once again,
and you gotta, and you
so
also you gotta understand, like,
show,
oh,
you know, that this country really stinks, and that, you know, we got a lot of work to do.
Okay,
yeah.
And also you gotta know that his commercial premiered during the NFC Championship game, and that had a little racial undertone to it also. So it was kind of like a perfect storm of what had happened,
yeah.
you know, with that commercial coupled with what he did at the end of that game. That kind of like just made the perfect storm for him. Let me get your take on it, Steve, and then we're going to get to the callers.
Well, me personally, I loved it, man. You got to look at how the play, at the end of the game, you know, he got the little penalty or whatever. He was all revved up. He was emotional. You know what I mean? Oh, it was like the perfect setup for this man because they knew he was revved up. We're going to interview this guy, and he's going to say something ignorant, and that's what they wanted. He went out there. He said what he had to say. You know what I mean? Obviously, it built up. Everything he said, I mean, Crabtree is not a garbage player. We all know that, but he did shut him down, man. I mean, I liked it, but as far as the backlash, man, you know how America does. They do it. They looking for, they itching stuff like that, man. So I think, you know, it's the label he's gonna have is never gonna get away from him now, but. They've done specials on ESPN on how much trash the man talks. You shouldn't expect nothing else when you interview the guy. You know what I mean? I don't care if he went to Stanford, if he's from Compton or not. You know what I mean? You know, he's trying to apologize. If I was him, I wouldn't apologize for him. You know what I mean? He's not going to change who he is. Just play on the field, all the talking. His emotion and passion came out. They just won the NFC Championship game. You know what I mean? Hey. It is what it is. I like players like that, man. No, I'm a University of Miami fan. I love people that talk trash and don't care what nobody has. So it is what it is. I mean, they're going to blow it up. You know, Aaron Andrews caught off guard. But what did you expect? That's all I got to say about it.
Let me get Watley on, and let's see.
I was going to say this, though. People ain't going to say this, though, but he did congratulate Crabtree for saying good game. But people ain't going to say about that.
he was trying to be funny, I think. Let me put you on hold, Steve. Let me get Watley on. What's good, Watley?
All right. For me, I'd like to first and foremost put some context to what was said. You played it. He was talking to Crabtree. America is acting like he got on the television and just started cussing white folks out or something. He was specifically talking to Michael Crabtree, and if you know, he was saying the things he was saying because Michael Crabtree had disrespected him and said something to him previously to that night about how he was garbage and he wasn't a good corner, and he had just shown Michael Crabtree in the NFC Championship game with the game on the line that he was the man. And he was psyched. And this is literally less than 3 minutes after that play when she comes up to him and says, "Tell me how you feel." Well, of course how he feels is, "You running your mouth, nigga. Well, guess what? Look at what I just showed you." That is exactly how he was talking, and that's exactly how he felt, and he was talking directly to Michael Crabtree. Everybody act like he was talking to Aaron Rodgers or Aaron or something, like he was trying to cuss her out or talking to her. He was talking to Crabtree. She even asked him, "Who are you referring to?" And he said, "Michael Crabtree." I just don't understand why everybody's acting like he was going off on the white lady or he was saying something to America. He specifically identified who he was talking to. Nobody said anything when Deion Sanders used to do it. He was even called Showtime because the way he always showed out. Nobody said anything about the way Muhammad Ali did it. He used to call every single person he fought out before he fought them. And he became a hero. But all of a sudden, this man shows up, shows out, and says, "See, I told you who I was." And all of a sudden, he's a thug? Come on, son. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Exactly.
All right. I don't really have any statement on that. Let's go to David here real quick. All right, David.
Yeah, man, I'm just listening.
Oh, you just listening? Oh, you don't have any opinion on the whole situation?
No, I mean, I don't want to repeat what I said yesterday. I mean, I don't have no problem with it. That's all good to me.
All right. Okay. Well, then, so where is it that, oh, yeah, breaking news. Shiano has been interviewed for the Browns job, too. But, seriously. Greg Schiano has been interviewed for the Browns job. Greg Schiano has been interviewed for the Browns job. You know, they need to.
They need to
fulfill the Looney Rule, not the Rooney Rule, but the Looney Rule.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I want to say one more thing about the NFC championship. I want to talk about Pam Oliver. That hair hat she had on was really ridiculous. I'm tired of these women getting out here wearing these hair hats looking like something has died on top of their head. Somebody should have told
me.
You're
wrong, boy.
This is a major news broadcast. Nobody could have went, hey, Pam, where are you going? Or hey, look what happened to your head. Or, hey, look at this mirror.
Wow, you're wrong.
And the thing about Pam Oliver is she's a nice-looking woman, too, but it's like, cut that hair hat out.
Really?
It's new every week, and it looks ridiculous.
Pam Oliver is a nice-looking woman?
You just I mean, she's not ugly, but her hair hat makes her look ridiculous. You know, it's like, what's she going to do next? It's like she almost...
Y'all need to stop.
It's almost like she does it for comedic effect, you know?
Y'all need to stop.
Well,
like,
I mean, you know why. You know why they wear Matt.
How you going to have
Mike,
Pam
you know
Oliver... Then, how you going to have Pam Oliver looking like that, then you cut over to Aaron Andrews, you know, looking like a supermodel?
Hey, I like you brought up that point there. See, there's a reason behind that they do that. You know, there's a reason that's the case.
I'm being serious.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Why would they even let her go on screen looking like that? There's hair. Every news place has hair and makeup people that do your stuff for you. So who did that and said, okay, Pam, this looks good?
Hey, that's another topic right there. Hey, I'm glad somebody's pointing that out. They gonna let Pam Oliver go out there looking like a well. We know why women wear hair hats.
Okay,
anyway,
but come on now. The difference is, Erin Andrews put her hair up in a ponytail so that it wouldn't blow everywhere.
It don't matter. You've never seen Erin Andrews look less than a 10 when she's standing on that sideline. She could be standing in the middle of a blizzard.
Her hair in a ponytail.
No, she doesn't. Most of the time she has her hair down, and she still looks distant, and she still looks just the same. Very nice. Pam Oliver, no matter how she, like I said, it's something different each week with Pam Oliver's hair, and it's getting ridiculous.
Then maybe you need to talk to her beautician.
Everybody's been trying to stop. I don't think she has one. She can't. Whoever it is, that person needs to be stopped.
That y'all are so wrong. Y'all are wrong on so many levels on this.
I'm tired of these hair-headed hooligans going out and doing what they want in our community. I'm tired of
them. Y'all are wrong. I'm sorry. Y'all act like she went to Queen Chica Shays or something. Y'all really need to stop.
But anyway, go ahead. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Let's get back to this. Let's get back to the Sherman thing.
I was going to say, Charlie Mike, you ain't been the only one on that. I see it on Facebook about Pam Oliver's hair and all that type of stuff.
Okay.
Pam Oliver is a beautiful black queen. Come on now.
I agree she is. I don't have a problem with it, man. Everybody got their
I don't think she looks that good. They're not going to put Beyonce over there next to Erin Andrews, but they're going to put Pam Oliver next to Erin Andrews. You got to understand that. They're not going to put a very good-looking a black woman against a very good-looking white woman.
Like
they will
said,
not do that. They will put a very ugly black woman next to a very good-looking white woman.
Erin Andrews is an older lady. You know, she has to be about 50.
So Erin Andrews is 35. She's 35.
Erin Andrews ain't no 50.
Yeah, Pam Oliver's
35.
Erin Andrews, Kelly Mike.
She's 35. I'm sorry, I mean Pam Oliver. Pam Oliver.
Yeah, Pam Oliver's about 50.
Lady. Yeah, she's about 50, and, you know, I mean, like I say, she doesn't look bad to me, you know. She's just, you know, but, I mean, with her hair hat on like that, it just makes her look ridiculous.
Wow.
I don't even think it was on her head straight. I think it was, like, crooked or something. Seriously, because that could not have been the front of that thing. It's like, who would make a wig that looks like that? What purpose?
Well, she always has a...
You said her wig was cockeyed.
She's always having a hair hat on. Pam Oliver always has a hair hat on.
I'm saying it's like no half sane person would make a wig that looks like that. I mean, she had to have it on the wrong way or something like that. Maybe she's like I'm saying, maybe it wasn't facing forward. Maybe that was the back or something like that.
Y'all wrong.
Let's get back to this. So what's your take on Richard Sherman in the future, man? I mean, is he going to be like a Terrell Owens? Because I put something on my thing. Is he going to be like the Terrell Owens of the NFL?
It's like I said on my Facebook. If Richard Sherman makes the game-winning interception in the Super Bowl, he should run up to Pam Oliver, snatch her hair hat off, and fight her.
He did say that. I saw that.
Boy, see, Cali Mike,
also,
you need to go to jail, dude.
And also, like I said, you ought to be ashamed
of yourself.
Like I said, also on Facebook, after he did the interview with Erin Andrews, he should have carried her off to the locker room. So the victor goes to spoils.
Wow. But, come on, Richard Sherman is the future of cornerbacks in the NFL. The boy is bad. He is going to be the second coming of Revis Island.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Yeah. Like I said, he's got the size. He's got the size. He's got the speed. You know, and he's got the skills to make himself a really star. You know, cornerback. I mean, he's got the swagger too. You know, I mean, I'm telling you one thing though.
The one thing that these young boys got to understand is collective bargaining is no joke in the NFL. And I'm telling you, you need to just sometimes accept the money they gonna give you and stay with the team. Because when they start trading you, you start losing value. And these guys, they get out there, and all they're worried about is that money, and they keep losing these good teams for all of these trades, and you don't understand. The more you get traded, the worse off you get. And then it's hard to get into the Hall of Fame because you don't been in so many different teams. Who they going to put you under in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Yeah, if I was Richard Sherman, I would embrace the villain role. I think more guys need to embrace that role. That's, you know, if you look at the old Raiders team, that was the best thing about the old Raiders team because they knew that they were going to be the villain, so they embraced that. You know, if I was Richard Sherman, I would do something crazy every game. Just let them know, yes, keep the focus on me. I'm the bad guy. And make that my mantra. You know, make that the whole defense's mantra. We're the bad guy. You know, come out and make teams be afraid of us.
I think Richard Sherman is for real. I think he is the truth. I think he is the future of defense in the NFL. And I think everything we're talking about Richard Sherman, we're talking about after the game. During the game, that man showed out. And that man won that game and put his team in the Super Bowl, and that's what really matters. We keep talking about what he did after the game. Nobody seems to want to focus on what he did in the game and to win the game. That's what really matters.
All right, so does he win defensive player? Does he win defensive player of the year?
No.
What's your take on
it? He has a debate. He can. I mean, he performed. I mean, it's you have to go inside the numbers to understand how good he was. You have to understand the teams didn't target him that much at all. Yet per attempt, his interception rate is higher than everybody else in the NFL. And you look at his attempt charts, and he's like everything is in the red. It's like stop throwing the ball over here to my side of the field. He definitely has a legitimate claim to be defensive player of the year, but so does Navarro Bowman, who, by the way, had the type of season that Hall of Fame linebackers have. I think David is a candidate. I think Keithley is. J.J. Watt, Robert Quinn. You had so many outstanding defensive performances this year. I mean, you really did. I mean, the defensive end for Carolina. You know, these guys were awesome this year. So I think he staked his claim as the defensive player of the year candidate. And so have a lot of other guys. So it's tough.
I think, I mean, what's that safety's name for Seattle? Thomas or something like that?
Yes, I would say a lot of it.
Too.
Yep. And Cam Chancellor is a bad guy, too.
I can't remember his name. Ain't it Earl Thomas or something like that?
Yeah, you got it. It's Earl Thomas.
That boy is bad. I mean, yeah, you can give a lot of the credit to Sherman, but the thing is, the reason why they even threw the ball in the direction of Sherman is because Earl Thomas had the middle locked down. You had to go to one side or the other.
Thought he's just where he was supposed to be, and I still say Kaepernick needs to make a throw that only three quarterbacks in the NFL. He has to make the best throw he's ever made since he's been in the NFL, and it's just a tough throw. So, I didn't mind the attempt. It had to be like again, it had to be the best throw he's ever made, and it had to be at the back of the pylon. There was nobody
there's
over
no the way in the world I can give defensive player of the year to a team that lost 11 straight games. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you think you are. If your team lost 11 straight games, you are not the defensive player of the year. That's the bottom line. So, you know, they can say J.J. Watt all they want. J.J. Watt didn't earn it because J.J. Watt didn't use his defense to win a single damn game.
I don't understand where that line of thinking comes from.
Well, that's my line of thinking, understand it or not.
The thing about it is, last year Watt had almost 20 sacks. He probably had a better season this year than he did last year.
Okay, but his team didn't have a better season. Performance matters. Outcomes matter. That's why your freshman won the Heisman and McCarron did.
Because one loss versus undefeated is a big difference, just like you guys kept arguing. But Watt has done. Watt did his job. Watt did. You know, Watt can't be responsible for Matt Schaub and actually, to be honest with you, the Texans defense lost a lot of players. The Texans defense wasn't as bad as their offense was. I mean, it's obvious.
11 straight games. You can't blame it all on the offense. 11 straight games.
I watched every single game they played. Oh, they were horrible on offense.
11 straight games.
Yeah, they were bad on offense. I mean, why
okay,
did
they were
job?
Bad on defense. The defense was letting the other offense score.
They
you
weren't
don't lose
bad
by
on
not
defense.
Scoring.
They were good enough on defense. If the offense comes to work, if they have a quarterback that will come to work, they win some game, win 11, 12 games.
Oh, it's amazing how you can argue that, but you can't argue that if Gronkowski was there, Brady would have did better in the NFC Championship
no,
game.
No, hey. It's no
amazing how you can
I,
see it now.
Wait, no. It's amazing that you're the only person that doesn't understand that I still believe it's a quarterback's league. And you try to tie J.J. Watt and his production and him doing his job every single play to win. And I mean, like I said, I don't understand. That's not the line of thinking. I mean,
my line of thinking is this. There is no way that the safety and the corner from Seattle should go behind who is in the who has only lost one game this year and is in the Super Bowl should be considered less of a defensive force than a player on a team that lost 11 straight games.
J.J. Watt is the best defensive player in the NFL.
Well, I think that performance matters, and I think that the safety and Sherman on the defense of Seattle deserve it more than J.J. Watt does because his team lost 11 straight games.
But J.J. Watt performed, though.
He didn't perform enough to win. This league is about winning. This league ain't about showing out. We ain't individuals. It's a team sport.
He performed.
He didn't say it. Team. I mean, Watt did his part. The team just didn't get it together.
Watt's done his part. You know. How many games
again,
did J.J. Watt play?
There's no way you don't give it to a winning team for a losing team. It's the same way in college.
Don't give it to Sherman. Who said don't give it to him? Is he the defensive player of the year? I gave several names that you know a lot of guys had great years. So
Thomas had a great year, but what I'm saying is there's no way I'm going to pick J.J. Watt over Earl Thomas. J.J. Watt lost 11 games and Earl Thomas lost one.
Do you think Richard Sherman was a better player? Better defensive player than Navarro Bowman this year? No.
I don't know. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one.
That's a really tough situation.
It's easy.
That's a really tough situation.
Did y'all not see Navarro Bowman?
No, I'm not saying Navarro Bowman and King Ball. I'm not saying that, but Richard Sherman had made some big plays this year, man. I'm not saying Navarro Bowman ain't done that either. You know what I mean? He's handled his business too. I know what you mean. But Richard Sherman has made some big time plays also.
Bowman
so that's why
is
I
made,
say I'm kind of tied up between the two.
Bowman is
for
made
Sherman
many
and
more
Thomas,
plays.
Though.
Well, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I mean, but you got to understand he's a linebacker.
But,
he's going from a linebacker
this,
to a quarterback.
Get this, Clausell. J.J. Watt was just as good as what Bowman was this year. But then again, he lost 11 straight games or whatever. But performance wise, he was neck and neck with Bowman from his position.
So Texan, who do you have any guy that you would just pick if you had to pick somebody? Then
it's so hard. You know what I'm saying? I'd probably go with Bowman. I might go with Bowman because he stood out. He stood out on a team full of superior defenders.
And some say he's better than Willis.
Well, that's the thing. Willis, while he didn't have the stats all the way around, Willis had a throwback year. Willis was excellent.
I still think I got to go with either Sherman or I got to go with Earl. What's the dude's name? Earl Thomas? The safety?
Yeah, Earl Thomas.
I got to go with one of them two. Why? Performance matters to me. The end result. The end result is the Super Bowl. And that defense has shown up and shown out every week against every single opponent that they have faced. And I truly believe that they have earned where they are. And I think that they're going to show up and show out in the Super Bowl. Because the one thing no one wants to discuss is Peyton Manning can't run the ball. Peyton Manning and a Kaepernick. The reason why San Francisco was even in the game is because of Kaepernick's legs. That 50-yard run, he had over 100 yards rushing. That is not going to happen with Peyton Manning with those ankles.
This
and
man
because
is, this
that's
man
not going to happen with Peyton Manning, he's going to be stuck in that pocket,
this
and he's going to have to throw
fish.
The ball. And with that secondary of Seattle, I don't see him getting it done. I don't
this
see
man
him.
Why you say he's fishing, Tex? I don't see how, I don't see how he's fishing. I think that's a very good point right there.
You think,
how's
wait a second, but you think Seattle's defense is a better matchup against Denver than San Fran's defense?
Absolutely. Because the only thing that kept San Francisco
okay.
in that game was Kaepernick's
okay.
legs. And Peyton Manning ain't got
I'm
no
not saying
legs.
I'm not saying it's that. I mean, it ain't that much better, but I mean, it's just as good. Yeah, what are you trying to say?
It's that much good?
Hold on, text.
We'll get into it next week.
Okay, we can get to it next week. I'm just saying San Francisco's strength is against the run. I mean, they have a good secondary, too. I'm not knocking that secondary. But their strength is the run. Seattle's strength is in the back end, all right? So if you want to neutralize Peyton Manning.
See, so this is what you all see. You see the secondary, and you see advantage Seattle.
Absolutely.
All right.
And they're going to be able to stop the run. They're going to be able to stop Knowshon Moreno from running the ball, so it's up to Manning.
No, they're not.
You don't think they're going to be able to stop Knowshon Moreno from running the ball?
Seattle, all
I'm going to say is I'm not just looking at Seattle secondary and like, man, they got Denver. And I'm not looking at Denver's passing game and going, man. They got Seattle. I'm gonna just leave it like that. I'm looking at the matchup. I'm looking at the secondary scheme versus Denver's passing scheme. That's what I'm watching. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that.
Okay,
next.
But Denver's passing scheme has no legs if the secondary of Seattle shuts them down.
See this? See you stuck. You stuck on.
All right, we can talk about. Hey, I'm looking
to
forward
run.
To it.
But okay, all right.
Well, let me get these last.
Thing I leave you with, just understand why you're harping on the secondary. Cam Chancellor is a liability in deep coverage. Earl Thomas can be had, and Sherman doesn't move. He's not a move corner like Darrell Revis and Patrick Peterson. So keep that in mind while we're talking about.
And keep
Seattle,
in mind
so.
That your cankle ankles on your quarterback for Denver is going to keep him locked down and locked in the pocket, and he's going to start throwing crazy throws, and he's going to do what he always does when he gets under pressure and start throwing interceptions. Keep that in mind.
That type of analysis is lazy, but what I'm going to tell you is that Seattle's big body types at end, like Red Bryant and Brian McBain, let's see how they hold up under that no huddle. Let's see that. See, we talking about the matchup. We ain't talking about how good a defense is, and we ain't talking about how good an offense is. We talking about
okay,
matchup.
If you
want to
put it like that, look at where the matchup is going to be, New York City. 2 weeks from now, it's going to be freezing. Advantage Seattle Seahawks because
advantage,
Peyton Manning has shown
my ass
that in the cold,
ain't
he freezes up like the Tin Man.
You saw shootouts this year in 10 feet of snow. So I don't want to hear about the weather. But if you want to talk about the wind blowing, you want to talk about the wind, certainly we can talk about the wind, but we ain't fixing to talk about the weather.
Well, like I said,
right.
When your tin man with his old ass is going to need a little oil come 20 below up there in New York City.
All right. It's going to be interesting. Hey. Well, let me get the last few callers. Tex is going to give us some analysis next week.
Too.
Hey, let me get to these two callers, and then we're going to wrap it up here. Let's go with Steve. What's good?
Going on.
Hey, you got anything to say?
I mean, y'all going all over the spectrum with this pay, man. But what are we actually talking about? Best defensive player in the year or how Peyton Manning is going to destroy that Seattle defense? What y'all talking about?
Both, man. Just say what you want to say, man. Both.
Well, defensive player of the year, I mean, there's so many different people, you know what I mean? What's the linebacker at Carolina? I think he did a great job.
Kuechly.
Yeah, Kuechly, no, 156 tackles, 2 sacks, 7 passes, 2 tackles for a loss and 4 interceptions. I think he's a good candidate. And I like Robert Mathis, what he did this year, too, with 19.5 sacks. You know what I mean? Robert Quinn, you can't forget that guy. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's a lot of people you can throw in the mix. I think Richard Sherman, he's one of the best corners in the league, but not the best defensive player in the league. You know what I mean? But all right, they're going to – that Seattle is going to get exposed a little bit, if you ask me, you know. They played against, you know, post-style little offenses all year. When Peyton Manning go 5 wide, all you got is Sherman Thomas hiding. Who's going to stop the other little guy? Who's going to stop fighting? You know what I mean? Like, I don't see that happening. Y'all going to be all excited about Seattle, yeah. There's a reason they only win in Seattle. So,
well, my thing is this, and I've been saying this since I was a fam, and Chi-Town Mike can vouch me. When you need the two things that you need to get to the Super Bowl and win it. You need defense and running game. I understand Texas is all about the quarterback, but I think what it boils down is you need that defense and you need the running game. And I think Seattle has the edge against Denver on both of those situations. So that's why I'm going with the Seahawks. But we can talk about it a little bit more next week. You know, we can talk about it a little bit more next week. Because when you talk about offense, you talk about defense, you always got to go with defense in a championship game. You know, think about Oakland versus Tampa in 2003, I think it was. Oakland had the number one offense. Tampa had the number one defense.
This is an anomaly of a defense. That was second best defense ever. Second best defense ever in the history of the NFL in a single season.
You can't.
No,
really
not that year. Actually, no. That was not that Tampa Bay defense. You talking about the Tampa Bay defense before that? That wasn't the second best in history. You said the second best ever in Super Bowl history? I don't know about that,
yeah.
But that's a conversation.
Over a year, Tampa Bay, absolutely.
No, not that year. I'm saying that year. I don't know. That's another conversation for next week. I disagree there.
You talking about,
but I'm just saying,
Oakland that year?
Yeah, that year, 2003.
That was the second best defense ever, in my opinion, over a single season period.
Clauzel, second to the 2000 Ravens.
Yeah.
Clauzel.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to understand. You got to understand that year when they played Oakland, you got to understand. John, I mean, they did discussion on it, man. The man threw the whole offense. Rich Gannon's tendencies. That really ain't fair. You know what I mean? He knew what they were going to call when they was going to call it. I mean, you really can't really use that comparison.
Why not?
Because
you can say the New York Giants, Super Bowl 25, the New York Giants against the Buffalo Bills. New York Giants had the number one defense and the number one running attack in the game, and the Buffalo Bills had the no-huddle offense, man, and the Giants won the game.
Y'all,
you know, when you look at all the championship games, you look at the majority of the championship games, it's always to the team that has the best defense and the best running game. Every single Super Bowl is almost like that.
So you're saying?
Thank you.
Are they going to keep Peyton Manning off the field?
I don't know. Probably. I don't know. I don't think it matters.
You know, the thing about Denver is that they're not scared to run the ball. Now, you keep saying that they won't run. They won't be able to.
They may have been there, too.
Defense wins championships. And I will take Seattle's defense over Denver's defense every time.
Seattle's defense is good, but look how close, you know, that New Orleans game and that San Francisco game. They didn't dominate as bad because both of those games was close where the other team could have won that game. And both teams had good quarterbacks.
Defense wins championships.
Hold on, what do you know about New Orleans? Well, we'll see, man. It'll be a lively conversation next week. Hold on, Callie, Mike, you got something to say? Mike.
I just want to say that I'm tired of these hair hats.
Mike crazy.
Every time I see a hair hat, it just looks so ridiculous. All of them aren't hooligans. You know, I want to get that out of the way. They're not all hooligans, but it's just bad. It's just bad for business. Let's cut this out, ladies. 2014. You know, let's wear your own hair.
Mike,
their pants up. You know, let's just
Mike.
Stop it.
Mike, you gotta understand. When you listen to Tommy, he tells you why they wear their hair hats. They're not wearing the hair hats for us. You know what I'm saying? Just keep that in mind. You gotta keep that in mind. They're not wearing the hair hats to talk to us. So just keep the.
Wow.
But now
even the mainstream media is making fun of them now. Though that's the point. It's like, damn, really?
Wow. She wearing that hair hat because she don't want to get hit by that football again.
I mean, that really bothered me that they would let her go on TV looking like that. I mean,
y'all need to leave that woman alone.
No,
stop. Well, why it shouldn't bother you because she's not trying to impress. Us. That's the point I'm saying. Why should we be worried about what Pam Oliver puts on there? Because at the end of the day, she's not trying to.
Honestly, the self-esteem of black women in general is very low. And it doesn't help when you have a figure like that, a high-profile figure, looking that bad. I mean, she's not trying to.
Yeah, but those women.
For anybody. The only person.
But you have to understand those.
The only person that thought that she looked good was herself, and I don't even think she thought she looked that good. She couldn't have.
Yeah, but my point
is,
yeah, I understand you saying the self-esteem of black women, but you understand a lot of those women, I'm not saying all black women are like that, obviously. All black women are not like that.
It's about 80 to 90%, maybe 95%.
Well, I can't give a statistic, but what I'm saying is a lot of those women, they wear that stuff not to impress us. They're trying to impress somebody else, so let them impress somebody else. That's the mindset that we should have,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that might be true. I just might have, like, I just let them eat cake. I just might have to do that.
Leave Pam alone, man. Let that woman go.
And also another thing,
I would have just snatched that off her head. I really would have.
Yeah, and now that we're talking about gossip and stuff, Adrian, what's the name? Adrian Foster and his baby?
Adrian
he has a baby
Foster.
Mama issue, and she got on TV. I think she got a reality TV show. It just further shows how these athletes, the black male athletes are just having these kids with these women, you know. That they shouldn't be having these kids by, and they're wasting their money. But
groupies.
It is what it is.
Groupies. Let's keep it real. All these groupies hang around. They get passed around. Dumb niggas fall in love with hoes, and the next thing you know, they having babies.
In a reality show.
By the way, I want you guys to notice this. Have you guys noticed what all these women on all these reality shows have in common?
Hair
hats.
Exactly. Hair hats.
I knew he was going to say
it's
that.
It's usually a bit crazy. Even the white ones have hair hats, like the girl Kim Zolciak. She has a huge hair hat. That's amazing. The white one.
That's just like Kanye West. I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas.
Yep. Hey. Callie, Mike, I know, like, when you look at a woman now and she has a hair out, you just think of her completely different now, don't you?
I almost do, and I hate doing it, but seriously, I notice the only time I get arguments with women or something crazy happens, they have a hair hat on, and I don't look, and I'll be like, oh, I should have known better. I shouldn't even know better.
Yeah. I was going to say
this on Facebook. Y'all remember Sam Ewell and Patty Foote after the girls were fighting, they tear their weave off, how they would throw it in that tree? And remember, like, by the end of the year, how that whole tree was full of weave. Y'all remember that?
Oh,
that
wow.
That tree had weave hanging down from it like Spanish moss. It was crazy.
Damn. I never paid attention to that part, but dang.
But anyway, man, let's wrap it up here. It's almost 11, man. Yeah, my wife hates Tommy, just to let you know, Mike. But she hates Tommy, man. She hates Tommy. Even though she agrees with some of the stuff he says, you know, but he just, the whole negative and anything like that. But anyway, we're going to end the episode now. Tommy Sotomayor. We're going to end the, and you should stop watching Scandal too, Shottown, but that's another conversation in itself. We're going to wrap it up here.
I
can't believe, you folks watch that, man. I can't get that.
All right, man.
Mike watches that.
Yeah, he does. All right, we're going to wrap it up here, man. Thanks, you guys, for coming out.
I started watching it this last year. I ain't watching it all.
Listening to us. Yeah, listen to us, Block Talk Radio. We're going to post this on our Facebook page. Good show. We'll be here next week to go into more of our Super Bowl coverage, of our Richard Sherman coverage. And we may talk about some hair hats here, too. So, all right, man. So, y'all have a good one. Be easy, man. See you next week.
Bye-bye, everybody.